left is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told.
Welcome back to the Jeff Paul Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. We do appreciate you listening. If you want, try to get another text in, 251-343-0106. If you need to get in touch with the program, hit up that Essential Technologies text line. Joining us now is the time of week. We do it about this time every week. We hear from our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. Glad to be back in South Alabama.
I don't blame you there, but busy week for you, huh? Well, I say that, but to the untrained eye, it didn't look like a whole lot of busyness.
Well, if you do it right, it doesn't look like that. But I can promise you, it was a very, very busy week. Lots of arm twisting and gnashing of teeth and back and forth, and in a very compressed timeline. And with a very significant change in what we started with at the beginning of the week. And again, it may not look like that, but if you do it right, that's how you want it to go.
Well, yeah, you did get an amendment to the ARPA spending bill, which is more than I was anticipating, but it got done. Should I be surprised at the unanimity here on this one?
Well, you know, maybe so, but maybe not. I mean, it was certainly an uphill battle. It was one of those things that we needed to watch, very, very closely, and we needed to make sure that we were paying attention to the details. I mean, there were some members that either voted no or voted against the legislation because they weren't able to really get what they needed in there. My concerns revolves mostly around the allocation of funding to 8M and putting some guardrails, if you will, on that to ensure that growing communities got their portion of this money, and or at least a better shot at it than what has happened in the past. And then, of course, also to significantly broaden the amount of money that was or the allowable uses for some of this money to include stormwater. But you're right. I mean, absolutely an uphill battle to get amendments on there, and a real struggle. And I'm very, very, very pleased that we were able to do that.
Yeah, because downstairs in the House, I mean, they didn't want any, you know, back talk. It's like high school all over again. I hope that's not what we're going to see for the rest of the session, but maybe it's just a special session. They had a program and they were sticking to it.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I don't have a crystal ball, and I'm not sure how that's going to work. You know, you've got a new leadership team in the House entirely. I'm gonna let them run their chamber and do their thing how they want to. But I'm not built like that, and I'm sent there to legislate. I'm sent there to argue on behalf of my constituents and then debate on behalf of my constituents. And I'm really thrilled that we were able to get this meaningful amendment on. I'm thrilled that the House accepted the amendment. The governor signed the bill, and it's law. And that Baldwin County will, because of these changes, be able to likely receive significantly more money, and particularly in my district, and then, you know, to use that money for a way, you know, much broader, number of things, including some stormwater improvements. But it is a different way of doing things. They did all seem to vote lockstep in the House, again, the Senate's just a different animal.
I was going to say, the Senate looks like there's at least the opportunity, if you so choose, and there's not going to be punitive measures taken against you if you dissent. You had three no votes, Senators Orr, Weaver, and Gavan, and you know, they live to play another day. It's just you guys upstairs, you're not as, I don't know, it's not as command and control, it seems like.
Well, again, new speaker, new leadership team in the House, and I'm not sure if that's just how they decided they wanted to start it, or if that's what we've got, you know, coming in the next quadrennium. But I leave that to them, and run our place upstairs and do what we can do upstairs, and just thrilled that that was able to happen.
We're looking at next week, back into the regular session, and I knew the special session was coming. As far as I could tell, there's a few pre-filed bills, and there seems to be a real keen interest in making sure these economic incentives get renewed. Obviously, the tax cut discussion continues to be one that I'm not sure which way that's going, but I'm kind of surprised that it's going in the tax cut direction and not it's getting away from rebates. But what do you think we're going to be looking for next week?
Well, I think you've touched on a couple of those issues. I don't think we'll deal after the spring break, so not next week and not the following week, but then really that kind of first full week in April, I think we'll be getting into tax, into the rebate, the incentive program, I should say, and how that's going to work. I've got there's some pre-filed bills that are going to move. I've got some bills that I'm going to introduce on Tuesday that are ready to move and try to move them very quickly. You know, there's an advantage to moving some of those early on in the session, and it's just about how crowded things aren't yet, if you will. The special order calendar isn't crowded yet if you get in and going early in the session, so there's more opportunity for to be on the floor and in committees as our committee meetings just get started to get geared up. There's an opportunity there just from a congestion issue to move along a little quicker. So there'll be a couple pieces of legislation I try to move fairly quickly upstairs and then get them down to the House, and they should have the whole rest of the session to deal with them. So we'll see that. And mine deal with liability insurance for restaurants and bars and that we've had trouble with here on the coast. You'll see those. You'll see our Alabama High School Athletic Association issues that we've talked about before coming up. So we'll try to move those along. And then, you've got budgets. We're going to get straight into budgets to start really working on those, the largest ones we've had in years and years and years, really ever. And so those will take an awful lot of work to get moving on. And we're a couple of weeks behind, if you will, where we otherwise would have been because of the special.
Well, it's also, it seems to me this, the two I'm kind of watching and tell you how I think Weaver's good time bill, that ought to move pretty fast, right? And then the other one, at least in the House, is this divisive concept stuff. You think those will get done early on, or are we going to wait till the very end like we always do?
I do believe Senator Weaver's good time bill will move quickly. That's a big deal, especially as we continue to see a lot of these folks let out of jail, earlier than, in my opinion, they should be, and we've had that conversation. Senator Weaver's bill is very all-encompassing when it comes to that, and I'm glad that pendulum is swinging back in a better direction to where it's been in the past. So that's positive. Representative Oliver's got the CRT bill down in the, divisive concepts. the divisive concepts bill in the House. I hope that they're able to move on that. The Senate's passed that piece of legislation before, or has tried to pass that legislation before, run out of time. I think it will do very well in the Senate when it comes up. But it will likely cost us some floor time in order to do that. There's an opportunity for significant filibuster, and I'll let leadership do its thing and negotiate, navigate when the best day to do that is. But I'm hopeful that those two will pass and pass quickly.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Other than the things we mentioned, I'm trying to think. I don't know. The reason I ask, I don't feel like we got a real good look. I don't know what the governor's got up her sleeve at all. She's not showing any cards. And, usually you have something, you got to do, I don't think it's gambling or anything like that. Well, what do you think we need to be looking for?
Well, we did touch on what Senator Orr has as far as grocery tax cuts, and I'm really pleased to see what the work that Senator Orr has done there. He is a thinker, and he, in my opinion, has come up with a really good way to begin those tax cuts that is both responsive to the situation we find ourselves in right now, which is huge surpluses, and and also a way to be very fiscally responsible, not necessarily conservative, but responsible when it comes to the state's budget. I think he's really hitting a good balance there. And I think that that is an interesting path to go, as opposed to maybe where the governor was going, as far as we're going to do a one-time rebate and that's it and goodbye. So I think you're seeing a little bit of a push and pull there between the executive and the legislative branch, which is exactly where it's supposed to be. So that's something that I think is good and healthy to happen there. You know, there's some other things that the governor mentioned in our State of the State address that I think are worth a deeper dive and a little bit more attention. You know, this whole new, you know, medical, what is this, I guess it's not really even nursing, but a new residential school in West Alabama in Demopolis. You know, that's got almost a $70 million price tag that's just in there, and I think there's going to be a very critical look at that and some of the other initiatives that the governor's announced.
What do you make of the max price tag on the prison, the Elmore County prison, going up? I mean, that's insane, right?
It's huge sticker shock, and it is easy to chalk it all up to inflation. I mean, it really is. But I think we got to do a little deeper dive on that. I mean, that is a gigantic increase, and you just got to wonder why. And I just don't buy inflation and only inflation. And if that's the case, if we're seeing the inflation numbers that are not 10, not 20, not 30, not 40, but, you know, 50%+, as I think is the case there, then what does that mean for everything else we've got going as far as capital projects in the state, from roads, bridges, and everything else? If we're seeing 50% effective inflation on capital projects like that, that may just be way too much to handle, and at some point we've got to say, is this sustainable?
Like, my theory on it is a few things. I do think inflation's a big part of it. I don't think they did the work on the site to know what was going on there at Elmore County with that underground stream or whatever was going on there. They somehow missed that. That is a big, big, big part of this. But also, is it possible, Senator, that some of these numbers you got, you guys have got in that special session, were a little wish casting, maybe lowballed, and knowing that there's no way you're going to get that for $628 million?
Yeah, I think it's probably some of both. I really do. I think there's, you know, inflation exists. Everybody's feeling it. I just don't know that it's as much as we're seeing on that particular project, which means we got other issues going on, and I'm really interested to see what they are. Right? Is it just, you know, under forecasting, under budgeting, or have we run into other unforeseen issues on the site, or, you know, what else is going on? And not just, you know, it's not a playing game or anything like that. It's just, hey, let's make sure we don't do this again, because we've got the Escambia County facility right behind it, and I want to make sure we don't end up with sticker shock yet again. It also really shines a light on this whole prison finance authority and its ability to, you know, almost unilaterally say we're going to increase the allowable amount on this facility this much at the expense of the other facility. And, oh, by the way, that means we're just going to have to go back from to the legislature, and they're just going to have to do it, or we're going to be in, the same problem where, you know, yeah, you've got the ability, legislature, to either appropriate this or not, but you don't really have a choice because we've already spent the money we pledged to this. That's a problematic thing for me and something I think we need to look at.
You know, that does, you know, this committee just decides this. No one really talked to it. I don't remember hearing about, I figured it was just an oversight thing, and they were making sure the money was going to be spent appropriately and making sure the contractors were above board. But the idea that you would grant some extra, you know, I guess it's part of the legislature, but a body like that The spending authority seems, I mean, where else in state government do you have that kind of structure?
Well, we saw it in CARES Act, and we see it in ARPA, and those are both concerns. You know, that's one of the things in the ARPA bill that concerned me, and it stayed in, and that is that if these funds aren't spent, you know, this is always the language that's in the last couple of pages of these bills that you've got to watch and pay attention to. But if the ARPA money, for instance, isn't spent by a certain date, then this smaller committee gets the authority to move it around in between the buckets. That language existed in the legislation for the Prison Finance Authority. It exists in ARPA. It existed in CARES and was used in ARPA. And there's merit in letting some come back and manipulate the funding buckets, if you will, to better accomplish the goal without having to bring the whole legislature back. It is scary to me that we had money for two prisons, and now we have money for one prison. And now we have to come back and appropriate more money for number two prison because we used all the money for both prisons on one. And maybe we need to look at that language in that legislation a little bit more carefully and say, you can move up to this amount of money or something like that. But it is concerning.
Yeah, it just seems too clever a wording. But anyway, Senator, we got to leave it there. You're always very kind to come on, and maybe I'll bump into you next week.
Sounds good. Great week in Montgomery for everybody.
Yeah, it's always great in Montgomery. All right, guys, we got to get a break, and we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We sing about sweet home.